It's time to rev up the engines for another trip around the world with a Fast family, and this time Jason Momoa is coming for Dom and his friends in Fast X. Let's race with our latest spoiler cast. I don't know why I say race, because nobody actually races in these things anymore. They didn't have a race.
No, never there mind. Was a race in this one.
It's all coming back. All right. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, my fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey, buddy. How you doing today?
Good. Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
Hey, and we're talking about Fast X. This is the 10th installment in the Fast and Furious franchise that has no understanding of how titles work whatsoever. Not even a little bit.
No, they really just don't care, do they?
They don't. I am convinced the next movie is going to be Fast X Part 2, and then they'll just go to Fast 12 or Furious 12 or some shit and pretend like there wasn't an 11. Because they can.
Yeah, that's, there's a lot that's going on in this. It just seems like
Yeah, well said, John. Well,
yeah, I know. Like, I'm still kind of, like, flustered over all of this.
Flustered, huh?
Did I stutter at that point?
No, that was earlier. It was before you got there.
Yeah.
All right, well, here's what this one's about, in case you didn't know. Have you ever watched a Fast and Furious movie before? Because if the answer is no, then don't start here. There are literally 463 characters in Fast X, and half of them carry baggage from previous films. This adventure is all about the family you already know. And that's the most important word, right? I mean, family. Everybody, take a shot every time you hear the word. Don't. You'll die.
I've done that before, actually.
Yeah, you did that when we had our Fast and Furious retro episode, right? You said you tried to do that at some movie off or something?
Yeah, when we did the Black Friday celebration with former host Scott Clark at the Gaming Outsider, we had a group of us and we started doing shots when he introduced family. And eventually we gave up on that because we did want to survive and have respect for those medical professionals. Didn't feel like we should show up the day after Thanksgiving in the hospital for alcohol poisoning.
I think that'd be kind of amazing. Why are you guys here?
Family.
Family. And they don't even say it till what, the fifth? I think it's the fifth movie where it really becomes a theme, if I remember right.
Yeah, it's about there. I think the fifth one is when it happens.
Because they don't give a shit about family for a long time. Because if I remember right, in the first movie, if you go back and watch it, Dom even says, when he's talking about his whole quarter of a mile at a time shtick, that whole monologue is basically him saying, hey, for 10 seconds, or he's talking about this 10 seconds. For those 10 seconds, I'm free. Nothing matters. The team, life, all these people that are behind me, they don't matter. For those 10 seconds, I'm free. And then he apparently grew. I don't know. He got older.
Yeah. That's really the theme of this, right? Is to see how he has changed over the years to be that dumbass, I'm going to steal VCRs out of the back of a truck guy to now I'm running a team for this secret organization, and I want that life. And I'm a little bit jealous, actually. I need to go start stealing VCRs. CD player / VCR combos.
It was VCR-DVD, VCR-DVD combos is what it was.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was like $6 million. There was that kind of market for those things back then. Who knew? Anyway, we're in the now. We're here. And for this entry, the entire Fast family is back. We've got Dom, who's Vin Diesel, Letty, Michelle Rodriguez, Roman, who's Tyrese Gibson, Tej, Ludacris, Han, who's Soon Kang, Mia, who's Jordana Brewster, Ramsey, Natalie Emanuel, Jacob, John Cena, I'm tired, Queenie, Helen Mirren, Shaw's Jason Statham, Cypher's Charlize Theron, Little Nobody, who's Scott Eastwood, and Little Brian, who's Leo Abuelo Perry. My God, the cast budget is coming up on $1 billion at this point. Then we get new family members. We get Abuelita, who's Rita Moreno. She's just here because she's awesome, and she's Rita Moreno. Tess is played by Brie Larson. She's nobody's daughter, also part of the agency. You get Isabella, who's Daniela Mashore, who was in Suicide Squad. She was Ratcatcher. Not to mention Ames. Reacher's Alan Ritchson, who is just glistening in this film. And you remember, friend of the show, interviewed him twice. Wonderful guy. Love the guy. So happy for his success. He's a new agency lead who was brought in to hunt down the family for reasons that become obvious as you watch the movie. We'll talk about him here shortly. And Ames also is the guy that gives you kind of a very witty breakdown of the entire series thus far and makes fun of how basically lets you know we're in on the joke. We know these movies are ridiculous and we still love them.
Oh, yeah. That was the greatest thing when he's commenting on the fact that there's no real reason these people should be alive right now.
Yep. Or that we should be using them for super missions. It's funny. All right. So suffice to say, the family is under siege by the son of Fast Five's Hernan Reyes, who's Dante. He's played by Jason Momoa, who looks nothing like Hernan Reyes. And it doesn't matter because these movies don't care. And his father was killed in that safe siege from Fast Five. And Dante has had an entire decade to prepare for his wrath. And my interpretation of Dante is he's basically Jack Sparrow's kid if he had that kid with the Joker.
That's a good description of it.
Yeah. That works.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So overall, now we're going to get into the spoilers and stuff. But before we do, just overall thoughts. What did you guys think? How was Fast X? How was your shot this time with this series that keeps getting stupid? And I think we all had a little bit of a struggle with Fast 9. And how much we're retconning shit now. Where do you stand with Fast X?
Well, I don't feel like we were getting much better with retconning shit in this one either, if we're being fully transparent.
We'll get to that part in a few, but yeah.
Yeah, but you know, this one, I think it was an improvement from the last one. However, I know in the last episode that we talked about Fast and the Furious when Fast 9 came out, we had all talked about how we wish that there was a little bit more, I don't know, grounding into reality, because this is getting, these movies have gotten ridiculous. Like the things that occur.
Gotten?
Well, like the first couple ones weren't that bad.
No, but I mean, I would safely say since Fast Six
since
at a minimum.
And six, yeah.
Five was okay. We're somewhat grounded. I can at least make most of this work in my head. But once you got to six and they're getting airdropped on the highway in the mountains and there's a 27 mile runway, I'm done with reality at that point. So it's not getting,
we got. Oh my
God,
I forgot about the runway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, the good old runway.
I'm going to just go ahead and say that it was probably halfway through Fast 4 where they were just like, oh yeah, we don't give a shit.
Okay. Sorry, man. I didn't mean to cut you off. I mean, I'm just saying.
No.
Getting got, but go ahead. Ridiculous.
It has been gotten. Yeah. Other than that, you know, I love the characters. I still appreciate that we're building and expanding on some of these relationships. I like the tie-in about Brian's character. You know, there were some sweet moments, and I think that that was probably the perfect way to honor him and keep him alive without making it weird. And you know, but there are a lot of things that are still just like, guys, come on. Let's at least try to understand physics here. Let's make a go for it.
Don't care anymore. I officially don't care anymore. I'm so on board.
Yeah, I don't give a damn.
What did you think, John? Did you wait, Amanda, you didn't really say, does that mean you enjoyed the movie then? I'm stuck where you are.
Yeah, I guess I did leave it a little confusing. I enjoyed it for being a Fast and the Furious movie, but I was a little still disappointed coming out of it.
I guess if you wanted to grip the arms of your chair for a good 2.5, almost 3 hours and get absolutely nowhere, great movie. If you wanted to be stressed out for things that you shouldn't be stressed out about, great movie. If you want to have the same sort of response to a movie that doesn't feel finished like you might have had with my best examples were the sixth Hogwarts movie, the Hunger Games kind of did the same thing where they're extending out movies for no good reason. The Hobbit did it where they extended out a movie, set of movies to several seasons or several different movies for no good reason, where you feel like you only just watched the beginning of a movie. You don't feel like you watched a movie that has three acts that make sense. You just watched the first act. It leaves you feeling a little like you want more. So that's fair. And there's a lot of great fun interactions between the characters, but I'm kind of okay with this.
That was the least rousing endorsement I think I've ever heard of anything. If you like this and they like that, I don't know if I did, but yeah, I mean, it was, so I'm gonna go
yeah.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go with, I had a great time. I thought it was the best one since Fast 7. It's just ridiculous that I've actually had a couple movies in between there, and that includes the Hobbs and Shaw. Well, no, actually, I take that back. I like Hobbs and Shaw better. But it's the best Fast one since Fast 7 to me. I had a great time. I thought it was a lot of fun. It's ridiculous. A lot of that has to do with Jason Momoa, I will say. He saves this entire film from getting too stuck in self-seriousness, which is thankful. I feel like that was missing since The Rock left. And, you know, you lost Paul Walker, and then you lost The Rock. And you've got a lot of people who are taking this world way too seriously. And that's where I needed somebody else in the world that isn't part of Vin's crew to tell me, okay, this is silly. This is stupid. And I'm just going to play it up how silly and stupid it is. And that's what we got with Momoa. And that made all the difference for me. Plus, we got a villain that hopefully can't be redeemed later, because we'll talk about that in a minute, but that's kind of getting old. So I really enjoyed it. If $10 is the full price of admission, what do you give Fast X? And then we're jumping into spoilers.
For me, this movie is a 5.5.
Amanda?
I'm going to still go 7 even, because they made a lot of really stupid mistakes.
But
it was funny.
I'm going with 7 even because I enjoyed it. And the only reason it doesn't go higher is because I will admit, there's a certain lack of story, and the story, if you think about it, is really just the same plot of Furious 7. It's just another previous guy coming back for revenge. Yep. That's it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All right. Now, we're going into spoilers. If you haven't seen the movie or you care about spoilers, this film, I don't know if it really matters at this point. I mean, can you get surprised? Well, I guess, Amanda, you got a spoiler.
Yeah. You can still get a little taken off guard with some confirmation of things.
Okay. So here, spoilers are open. We're going to talk about the movie freely, about whatever the hell we want. Suck it. All right. Stunts. Amanda, what was your favorite stunt? What did you think about the stunts? I had a blast. And even when there's a charger somehow bringing down helicopters, there's a cool death for John Cena, even though you know he's probably not dead because I'm sure he was wearing a burn suit or some shit. And
oh my God, don't even get me started on that, because
we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that.
All right.
But in terms of the stunt work, I got to say the Rome situation where they're chasing the ball and they're trying to stop the bomb, that whole, it's probably what, a 25 minute set piece. I thought that was phenomenal. I was at the edge of my seat the entire scene. What do you guys think of the stunts this time?
I like the stunts. I mean, stunts are always something in the Fast and the Furious movies that have been exciting and exhilarating, and you never know like what balls to the wall idea they're going to pull out of their bum and put into these movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I do give them a lot of props for that, because they do have some really interesting and creative ideas. I also liked that we got some flashback and perspective to some of the things that happened in the past. So it didn't feel completely like this character was coming out of nowhere. And so that was a fun little heist, you know, recap that we got to see in this one too, from the former.
I mostly enjoyed every single scene that we had in this. The idea of a cannon car that you can use to jump with was probably my favorite thing in the entire world. I don't know why. This is the thing where I'm like, okay, you know what? If this was real, I would totally be driving it. But it just was insane. And you know, I saw the bits coming that came from that whole scene, and I'm like, all right, well, that's kind of dumb. But the idea of a cannon car, I'm here for it.
I thought all the stunts were fun, man. But seriously, that whole thing in Rome, and much of that was practical, believe it or not. There's a lot of practical in that. I mean, there was the shot where Letty's on the motorcycle, and was it the wire comes up, and she actually jumps over the wire? Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I loved it. Didn't care. And that's the thing. These are movies where people love to tell you that they're not, I'm not going to see it. I can't believe they're making them. I hate that they're still making these movies. Shame on you. Your IQ is ruining cinema and shit like that. Then don't watch them. I like these movies. I have fun with them. I realize there is no plot, and what plot there is idiotic. And it doesn't matter as long as I'm entertained. Sometimes I want a take brain out, set it on the table, enjoy a movie. And that's what these are. And the stunts are insane. And they're always around the world in the weirdest places. We don't have anything as crazy enough as a car Indiana Jonesing across a chasm, or going to space in a Fiero. You know what I mean? So as far as I'm concerned, there, it is more grounded. They did bring it more down to earth-ish. Very ish.
So very yeah, ish. Except for like a seven-year-old child who suddenly knows how to drive a Charger better than I do.
Hey, it was very well established. His dad taught him how to drive very young just to make sure he knew what he was doing. So that was well established that yeah, kid could drive that car.
That was cemented in some sort of reality. And that kid was building some sort of crazy car in the garage. And they're going all the old school ways so that, you know, people need to learn how to listen.
We're doing this for the future. So the next generation has it better. They do things better. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know how you watch him teach his son to drive and not expect that to come back at the end of the movie. I'll be honest. I mean, that's yep. all I kept thinking was, how are they gonna let this kid drive a car that's going to be awesome? Anyway. Okay, so stunts are on par. How about Jason Momoa's Dante? How about him? I loved him. I've talked him up a lot. Do you agree with me, or did you not enjoy a guy who sits around with corpses and tapes their noses up and paints his nails and is very effeminate, and I'm not sure if he even knows what his sexuality is? Like, he's just a wonderful character that's bonkers, I thought.
I don't think that he cares what his sexuality yeah, is.
And I like that about him. I dig it.
I love everything about him. I love how he walks in and he's like, enchanté. You know, his whole attitude throughout this movie was way over the top. It was probably the most over the top thing, and it probably works the most than anything else in this movie. The way he kind of struts into every single scene, the way he chews on the scenery, the way he... If you would have told me that he was going to be playing a character like that, I would have told you to shut up and you're dumb, because there's no way Jason Momoa is going to play a character just like this. But yet here he is doing like this Jack Sparrow Joker thing. And now I'm like, I want to see him play in the Crow now. I want to see a Jason Momoa Joker character. I want to see a lot of things that I never wanted to see before, to see this big ass Samoan dude running around doing things like this. I'm down.
He was such a fun addition to this franchise. I think it also gave us a little bit of re-energization. I don't know that that's a word, but it I'm making now. It one. It is. Yeah, thank you. This franchise, the series, really needed something that was, I wouldn't say new, but just something that was a little refreshing. And I think Momoa's character, especially with the tone of this film, where it's serious, but it's also very not serious at many moments. I disagree with you on this part, John. I could have totally seen Jason Momoa pulling off a character performance like this. I just think it's totally in his wheelhouse. And I think that's also what's so funny about it for me is I can see him doing this, but he's also just spinning the stereotypes of like a hunky, beautiful, muscular, bearded man. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think there's a lot of people in the LGBTQ community who look and act like Jason Momoa on a regular and feel maybe a little bit more internally the way he is presented in this story here in this film. But he was a lot of fun. I think he was a great badass. You could tell he was having a lot of fun with it. And that charisma, that passion, that energy, I think went to the rest of the cast. And it looked like everyone was having a good time too. So he was a great addition. Perfect casting.
What'd you guys think of his whole plan? I mean, obviously it's like Bond level. It's like a Bond villain. I mean, how ridiculous. Like, well, this is very intricate. You have been planning for a decade, and he wants to frame them as terrorists, basically, which I thought was a clever twist, because I didn't see that part coming. I thought that was a good twist. I'm like, okay. I mean, you can see it as it goes, and all right, I see where this is headed. But I just thought it was going to be a straight up revenge flick.
The other thing that I liked about that story that connected with him is that his revenge is something that I think most of us could get on board with, because these people were not, they are reckless, they are careless, they have so much mass destruction across these cities and towns and countries. I mean, they take their mess everywhere with them. And they are not law enforcement. And the fact that all of these law enforcement individuals continue to like, come on, we need your help, you random car drivers who suddenly have like CIA level optics that like nobody, we can't get anywhere else, but we got to get from Dom and his team. And so I think that that part's kind of entertaining too. But also, I get it. I would be pissed too. Like, how are you going to come in and kill my family? And you don't even have like the true justification for being able to take that and being able to make that move. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, two things there. One, even though I think it's pretty ridiculous, but they did do a fairly decent job. I kind of have to go back and rewatch Fast Five to see how much this lines up. But they did a fairly decent job of saying, all right, I get where he's coming from, man, to a degree. You know, you guys were criminals. He's a criminal. He's just even in the score. You know, that's what happens when you steal from somebody else. On the other hand, I guess what I'm hearing from you, man, is you are Team Tony Stark, because it's basically the same plateau he had. He's just like, hey, I think we should be regulated a little bit. These guys should be regulated. It's kind of the same theory, right? These are superheroes at this point, and they're just going unchecked, and there's somebody that needs to put them in check.
Yeah, and even if that isn't necessarily Momoa's character's motivation, we as audience members can see it that way. Like, we can have that perspective where we're like, you know what? At some point, somebody's got to do something about these people. Like, I'm on their side just because the family at this point. But also, if I did that, I'd probably be in jail.
Well, hopefully it would be a maximum security prison in Antarctica, and you'd know somebody who happens to look like Wonder Woman that has a submarine. So
yeah,
that could all work out.
Just happened to be working with the enemy who just happens to not be dead.
Thank.
Yeah, that's going to be a hell of an explanation when they finally get it to
us. Mr. Nobody. It's going to be the exact same thing as Han.
Hang on. Do they need to explain that? Like, after Han, there's no... Number one, I always thought her death was the most ridiculous, because all she does is fall off a plane. She literally just rolls off a plane on a runway. I don't know how she didn't survive that. There's no reason why she couldn't. To me, it's the easiest one ever. Han, that's a huge... Go listen to our Fast X thing that we just released on the feed. We really kind of couldn't stand the Han thing. That was a real shitty retcon. Gal Gadot, I kind of knew she was coming back.
Well,
in fact, you know, the impressive one is The Rock. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the one that I was shocked by when it happened. But the thing I'm going to have to say about her coming back, I get it that she eventually comes back. That's fine. And I'm with you that her death didn't made the least sense of anybody else's death. I'm with you on that. What I'm not with you on is why she's working with Cypher. I don't get it.
We don't know that, because remember, Brie Larson's character, that's why I think Amanda's alluding to Nobody, right? Because Brie Larson's character, Tess, is the one that set up essentially the escape to a degree.
Okay.
So she could have easily directed Gal Gadot to show up there.
Okay. All right. But wait a minute. That submarine was Cypher's submarine.
Well, they can connect the dots. Really, all you got to do is say, Tess, find Gal Gadot's character. Gal Gadot lets them know, hey, we're picking Cypher up. And then, bam, dots are connected.
All right, fine.
Doesn't it work? Is that what you're alluding to, Amanda? I don't want to speak for you.
I mean, yeah, because essentially, and she's going to have the same resources and connections, so.
So were you guys happy that she was back?
I will be happier when I see her and Han together.
Yeah, that'll be a really sweet reunion.
Hmm. So you want Giselle.
Also, if I were Han, I'd be pissed.
If you were.
Right?
Why? He faked his own death, too.
Right, but the reason why he was in Japan was he was recovering. He was mourning the loss of her. That's why he was in Japan, and that's why he died, or fake died.
Well, maybe we'll hear the explanation that it took her a long time to heal from the role she took. I still say it was ridiculous. From the role down the runway she took, and it probably, maybe, you know what? That runway was 37 miles long. It took a long time for somebody to get to her, to get her to the hospital. And that's why it took so long. Problem solved.
It was in three different zip codes.
It was. They had to go pick her leg up. Her leg fell off on the other side. They had to go get that, reattach it.
She's got a cybernetic leg, like the cybernetic
She's
thing from
totally
Hobbs and Shaw.
Now. Yeah. So how about The Rock? Because if you didn't know the backstory, The Rock and Vin Diesel fought like bitches. They didn't want to share screen time. The last movie they were in, which was, I think, Fast 8? Yeah, Fast 8. They don't even actually share the scenes. When you see them together, they're actually on separate shooting days, because the egos just got too much for there. And so The Rock was basically saying, I'm not going back. They're going to have to finish without me. And director Louis Leterrier, he's the director of Fast X. According to him, he brokered a peace treaty and got The Rock on board by showing him the movie and trying to get him involved to come back and finish this thing out, which me personally, stoked about. Love his Hobbs. I really think it was missing the last couple movies for sure, or the last movie for sure. And I'm glad to see him back because nobody pops a cast quite like The Rock. What say you guys? I mean, are you happy that The Rock is back?
I am so tired of this franchise getting rid of people just to bring them back.
So you're not enjoying this. This is getting tiring for you.
It is getting a little bit, I don't know, tiring, I guess.
I literally just said that.
They never killed.
I don't know. I was thinking of like a different word, like grating. Grating is, I think, the word I was looking for. It's becoming frustrating and grating.
But he was never. Oh, go ahead, John.
He was never dead in this franchise. So him coming back was okay. He just decided to not show up to work anymore.
I know, but that's the thing is, like, once you start going down a path with a character, can you not just commit to it? Like, I understand it's fun for audiences to see these characters come back. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy that part of it. But it just becomes, when are they going to, like, I can't trust the writers of this franchise to ever commit to a decision that they make. Honestly, I'm surprised Brian is still alive at this point. I've been waiting for them to kill him off just because, or like all of a sudden bring his character back through like flashbacks and AI and stuff. Like, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. And at this point, I mean, we can segue into Jacob's death too, is there's no stakes anymore. There are literally no more stakes. I mean, you can't, I don't care how many times you retcon the footage. There's no way Han survived that. Fuck you and your stupid nobody orchestrated this bullshit. Go back and watch Tokyo Drift. It is cemented. And also completely nerfs a whole movie with the fact that he's alive. Regardless, the stakes are being diluted. And that's the one thing I will say, as much as I love these movies, and I do love these movies, I have a stupid fun time with them. I'm getting tired of that. Now, The Rock doesn't bother me because I agree with John on that term. But Gal Gadot, that one, as much as I love Gal Gadot, I think it's dumb. Han really kind of irritated me. And now you just know John Cena is going to come back as Jacob because he's only been in a movie and a half. I mean, he just showed up last month. He wasn't even a brother until the last movie. Nobody, they didn't even have a brother until the last movie. Now they get one and he's dead. Or is he? Of course not.
Or is he?
And will he be insulted? Because he should be if he's not invited back in some form. Because my God. Oh, I'm the only one that doesn't get to come back? I guess I am invisible. Fuck.
Poor John Cena. You know what I am waiting for? Now that they've expanded Dom's familial line to be very white and, I don't know, Scandinavian looking or something, I'm waiting for like Mark Wahlberg to show up because we're getting like most of the big, hunky, like muscular dudes that have comedy chops in Hollywood into this franchise.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So it's just a matter of time, and he's just going to be cousin. He's going to be cousin Joey coming on in, and then he finds a way to save Joey. John Cena. Like, that's just probably what's going to happen.
Cousin. Wouldn't that be amazing if that's actually what happens? Like, they go back and they retcon that footage, and you see right before his car blows up, Mark Wahlberg shows up and pulls him out of the car or some shit, or he picks him up after the car explodes.
Right.
Or little nobody, you know, Scott Eastwood comes back and he pulls him out. I mean, there's going to be a retcon. Otherwise, if I was John Cena, I would be legitimately insulted. Maybe even sue.
Discrimination.
Yep, exactly.
All of a sudden, Mark Wahlberg shows up. Hey, all right, I saved you. Say hello to your mother for me, okay?
Oh, my God, that line. I haven't heard that one in a while.
I didn't know what we're going to get out of John Cena in this movie. And what I really appreciated every single thing, every single scene that he was in. He had all the best lines in the movie with the exception of Jason Momoa. He had the other set of best lines that were there to be had. And the way his comedy or his delivery works, I really loved like when him and little Brian are on the plane and little Brian's getting all nervous, and he's like, are you afraid of heights? Is it the heights? and then it comes back to, I'm really glad it wasn't the heights, because they've been carrying around that little pocket plane with them everywhere they're going.
Do not get me started.
We thought that was a kayak. And I'm like, okay, we can jump on that, because I'll be the first to admit, as soon as that came up, I went, fuck you.
That shit was hilarious. The thing I need to understand logistically is how this tall motherfucker had his whole body laid down in this tiny ass spacecraft. Like, there's no possible way.
His hands are bigger than that kid. They really are.
Truly, yes. Truly.
They crammed him into that thing with, like, coconut oil and a shoehorn to get him in that goddamn thing.
Well, I mean, thankfully the Rock's back, so they have plenty of baby oil to get him in there.
Right.
There's just no way his body fit into that, let's be honest. Unless it was custom made, built for his body. And how
he made a cannon car. He probably made that thing.
Oh my god. That was the most in a movie that's always ridiculous, or series that's always ridiculous, that was the most ridiculous scene. That and the Ludacris's Taj's bobblehead, which was still made me laugh a lot.
Right.
You know, that was ludicrous too. But that whole jet thing, and it's in the airplane, and they get down there pretty easy, and what is happening? What? And the maximum security prison stuff was pretty ridiculous. Like, hey, we're trying to break out of this maximum security prison. We've got 4 minutes. Let's go ahead and beat the shit out of each other and just get shards of glass up our ass and everything else. Like, that's ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
Are you talking about Michelle Rodriguez, Letty and...
Yeah, Letty and Cypher's fight. Cypher. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, let's talk ridiculous. Every meeting of any character ended up in some big action scene, by the way, which I kind of loved.
Yeah.
A lot of ridiculous.
I really hated that fight scene, though, because any other exchange that I've ever had where... All right, so John's about to say something very kind of sexist, but...
Gee, what a surprise.
There's a time and a place for everything, and these chicks do not realize that this is not the time and the place to beat the shit out of each other. They're just like, you know what? We're almost out of here. We're about to figure out what's going on. We're about to move on. But, you know, let's get into a fight instead of move on and try to get everything taken care of. You know, it's not like Cypher didn't just break the chick out. No, we have to get into this
Johnny.
Fight.
That's literally what every dude in every action movie has ever done, ever.
That is beginning to sound a little sexist, because every dude movie I've seen done it at an action movie 1,000 times. It happens.
All right. Well,
what I'm going to add to this, though, is I can 1,000% see Letty's character doing something like that, especially once you have that context of her basically being Lil B's mom at this point. She even gets called mom. And seeing how that dynamic expands, and like, this woman really did kill this kid's mom while he was right next to her, basically. And the only thing that I have the caveat to that of me understanding that Letty would actually do this, it's within her character, I think, to do it, even at that time, is that she had an opportunity to do it in the beginning of the movie and she didn't do it then. So why do it now? And I don't know if that's just because she thinks that Dom would have stopped her when they were all sitting in that room and she had a gun, or if it's, you know, just her ruminating on it and having the opportunity, whatever it was. I can see it happening. I just don't agree with the timing of it. I think she would have tried to attack her in the beginning of, like, why the fuck are you in my house right now?
I agree. So funny, though. So, I got 4 minutes. Got to be quick then, or whatever. What?
She's like, she had a gun the first time. Why wouldn't you attack her the first time?
So just because it was a bad, and the funny part, not the funny part, the sad part is I love the fight scene. I think the fight scene is awesome. It's actually like just bare knuckle. This was the most fun fight scene in the whole movie. I thought I had a great time with it. It was just,
oh my God, ridiculous. I love it when she picks up Letty and swings her right into the door of the elevator.
So painful. And they go right through the glass and they don't stop and just, I love it. They would be so injured.
Like, somebody used me as a battering ram on an elevator with my head, I would be a little bit dead.
All right, let's move into the new cast, which is Brie Larson, Ellen Richson, Danielle Michaud, and Rita. Look, I want to start with Daniela's character, because she's Isabel, who ends up being the sister of the woman that Dom was with, and therefore had the baby with, so it's his son's aunt, and just stop it. Everybody does not have to be connected in these films, and it's going too far. It's just going too far. I have no problem with her character. I just have a problem with how idiotic that was.
I have a problem with her character. Not with her, but with her character. I don't like the way they brought her in. I don't like the... she's only really this device to be like, okay, well, here's everything you need to know about Dante. Oh, by the way, there's a trap. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a lot redeemable as far as who she is as a character and what she does for the story. She maybe moves Dom one square, but not a lot. And then she just serves as a point of pain for Dom. And that's just like... He's already got 150 people that he calls family. He doesn't need one more. So I didn't really appreciate her too much. I loved and I was shocked. I love seeing Alan Ritchson on the screen. And I really enjoyed how he just kind of also came in chewing on the scenery, playing out these lines that only he can deliver the way they were being. Nah, that's maybe too high. Yeah, he was delivering very well. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the twist to his character mm-hmm. actually surprised me.
Thank you. I was really shocked and almost to the point where I was mad at myself. Because yes. at the beginning of the movie, that's the first thing I said to my wife when we were in the theater. I'm like, oh, he's totally a double agent. He's working with Dante, da-da-da-da. And they did a really good job of taking that years mm-hmm. of movie cynicism out of me and just believing, okay, he's that new guy wanting this job, man. He just wants to take mm-hmm. Dom down.
Yeah.
And he got me. You got me.
Yeah, totally got me. The one person I would really want to subtract from this movie is Brie Larson.
Ooh. I actually liked her here.
I liked her here, too.
Bringing her in as nobody's daughter and...
That's dumb. Yeah.
was dumb. She didn't have to be nobody's daughter. She could have been anything else but his daughter. Her little, I don't know, she just rubbed me the wrong way. And I don't know why it is, but maybe I'm still feeling some of those Captain Marvel issues with it.
I'm still mad at you for making Captain Marvel so boring.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. I liked her. When she scratches his car, I thought that was a great moment in the movie. I thought that was fun. Mando, why did you like her? Why'd she stick out for you?
So I'll start with Brie Larson's character. I do like that people aren't appreciating, or at least John's not appreciating any of the stories behind the women here, only the men.
Jeez, shade thrown.
This woman's story is actually kind of interesting, and what I enjoyed about it is she immediately, whenever you have the child, but in particular the daughter of somebody who is iconic, it is so incredibly difficult for them to meet that pedestal that they're immediately placed on. Mm-hmm. And so for her to be Mr. Nobody's child, she has to somehow be able to meet the cards in some way. And in terms of our expectations, what her abilities and capabilities are. And I felt like her character actually lived up to the potential for that, which is great for me to see on screen, because I think it's something that we don't see a lot is women overcoming some of those challenging stereotypes and them being underestimated and being able to show up and say, no, you know, I've got this great plan. This all happened because of her. Had she not stepped in, none of this would have happened. Like, none of the good things, the good outcomes would have happened here.
What good outcomes? You got people stuck in the Antarctic. You got Jacob dead. There's a lot of bad shit that happened, too.
There was a lot of bad shit. There's bad shit that happens in all of these movies. It's just part of their plot points. But she's the one who helps bring that family back together. She's the one who helps get them, you know, the plan that they need to be successful and break out of this.
She's totally part of the family now. Yep.
She is, absolutely. Yep. I didn't find her character grating like Captain Marvel. There was something problematic about that character. You know, I'll fully give you guys that. She was not, Brie Larson was not at her best on that, nor was the writing the best for that character. Here, she has a character that's written towards her, I don't know, achievable, something
her
that
strengths.
She's good at. Yeah, her strengths. And I enjoyed her character. I will also speak to Isabel's character, while it's not necessary, and we're all probably very tired of all the connections, I will 100% give you mm-hmm. that. It makes sense how this all worked out. Her character, I'm not gonna put fault on her character or look down on her character because they decided to make a connection. In every other respect, aside from us being tired of these nonsensical connections to everyone, her story makes sense. The setup for that character and the plot points that occur, that all makes sense. I actually really respected the way that we're kind of put in this position where we think we're going to go, he's going to choose Diogo, I think was his name, in that street race. He basically has to choose. That was the whole thing Dante wanted him to mm-hmm. do, and he didn't realize it till it all happened. And so my thing was, why is he going after this girl he just kind of met? And it's because he realized, and he was like, oh, I got to do what's necessary for family. And she is a notable street racer, so it's not like it's unusual for her to be there. It all maps out. Out of everything that's ridiculous.
Well, maps out. I mean, I would say that's a stretch. She's a street racer. I mean, her mom was not, or her sister wasn't a street racer. She was a cop. And it just happens to be that everybody that Dom runs into happens to love street racing. It works out. It's a coincidence.
Yeah, but there's also like a big, he's in those communities. So I feel like it makes sense if he's going to Brazil for him to be in a race car, a street racing community. And if she's a street racer, yes, that's a convenient point of her character, but it still makes sense. Hey, like it still all works out.
It works for you. I say ridiculous, but you go ahead.
There's a lot of, my point is there's so much ridiculous in this entire movie, fair. Not to mention the entire franchise fair to point. Like, yep. Key in on these two female characters, John, feels a little bit feels a little specific. Jeez. When we're talking about the problems of this film.
Love Rita Moreno. Love her.
Oh my God, she was wonderful. She was wonderful.
She was awesome. Yeah.
She does nothing, she was great. But she was wonderful.
Yeah, she added nothing, but she... No, you know what? She's going to show up in the other two or three or four movies that they're going to make after this, and she's going to be an amazing
badass.
She's going
to have a gunfight and save Queenie. That's what's going to happen.
Right. I hope so.
She's going to be how Queenie gets out of trouble. You know, I knew who you were when you first smiled. Your sister used to smile with her eyes. And,
well, my sister was a cop, and I was a street racer, and she was always so good, and I should have died. Please.
Okay, that's Vin Diesel and his cheesiness, though. Have you not seen him in all of these movies? That is 1,000% how ridiculous his character is and the writing is.
What did you think about Alan Ritchson?
But I'm going to give you that. Alan Ritchson... Alan Ritchson's character, I really liked the way that they put it on a twist for us. I, too, did not expect to see him by the end of the movie, did not anticipate that he would be working with the bad guys. But initially, the first thought is, yeah, he clearly is part of the bad guys if he's going to make such a big deal about all of this. But they, between his acting and the way they wrote his character and all of that, really buy you into the concept that, you know, maybe he is just an upstanding dude. Like, he just wants to do what's right and all that good stuff. And by the end, you're like, damn, they really got me. But, you know, it is what it is. But his character, I think, was less necessary for a lot of this than probably most of the other new cast, even. But he was a really great addition. So I'm not mad that he was part of it.
I just want to point out, director Louis Leterrier, they gave an interview recently where he said he feels like he discovered a movie star with Alan Ritchson. And granted, they put him in the movie, but I'm sorry, but I believe The Hollywood Outsider is one of the first interviews he did. And by God, we claim that, Louis. We claim that.
Yep.
And damn it, Reacher also claimed that. So we just know. We just know that that's where it came from. But I'll let you have the movie stuff.
Totally us.
The existing cast, anything you want to mention about them? I mean, I feel like nobody's really doing anything different here. I do want to kind of mention one thing. Mandy, you mentioned this earlier where you were talking about the races and how they just added a white guy with John Cena because it's a very racially diverse cast. And I love the fact that they don't feel a need to explain any of that. I mean, Dom's son, a little Brian, he's obviously a black child, right? But and Vin Diesel, I think he has black ethnicity. But in the same token, they don't ever address it. You know, when you see his mom, she's obviously Latina. you know, Dom is whatever varied race he is. And it just feels like it's something that they don't care. You know what? We're just going to cast the best actor and go forward. And that's just the way it goes. And I like that aspect of these films.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that works.
And I know there's a lot of people in the world who love to throw the word woke around. I mean, God, if I hear that one more time, I'm going to throw up. And the way that they do it in these films, when they're casting diverse cultures and everything else, they just do it and don't give you any explanation. They don't care what you think. And I think that's the way to do it. I appreciate that about these movies. I really do.
I think to your point, too, it starts to hopefully make people less judgmental and assumptive about what someone's ethnicity is based on what you're seeing in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's a challenge, especially for a lot of my like mixed friends or like my godchildren. My best friend kind of has those challenges with her kids, too, because they're mixed also. And just feeling like once someone identifies them as one or the other of their primary
however light their skin tone is, right?
Yeah, judging it based on that. And then they kind of have to fit into that box. They feel like they have to fit into that box. I don't want to speak too much on that, but I think what's nice about it is us not instinctually as like a society assuming or questioning or all of that about the different races. It's, oh, okay, clearly this person has something I'm not aware of, you know? So that part I really respect, and I think that that's a good approach to kind of start navigating the mindset of at least Western civilization, America.
Yeah, you can go ahead and just blame us. It's fair. Okay, so moving on the existing cast, I mean, you've got people that have been with the series for a while, for the whole time, whatever. You got Vin Diesel. You got Dom, you got Letty, you got Shaw, you got Mia, you got Tej, you got Roman, you got Ramsey, you got Cypher, you got Han, you've got Queenie, you've got... Who stands out? Does anybody actually stand out when you have a cast where it's just about introduction? It feels like a big setup for the next movie. So, did anybody stand out for you?
The one that I guess I come back to that I enjoy but is also maybe getting a little problematic is how stupid they make Roman. They've made him, he gets dumber and dumber every single movie.
He really does. Yeah, he does.
It's not getting any better. He went into space and it's like all the brain cells got left up there. Truly.
Meanwhile, Tej gets smarter every movie. He's just getting smarter.
He does.
Smarter.
He's suddenly like this, I don't know, international level hacker that like none of us realized. I will give a lot of like credit though to Ludacris because his character is engaging for me. I really like Tej's character. Yeah. And I love the dichotomy between Tej and Roman. I think that part is fantastic. I just I feel bad for this poor man.
I love the fight that they have. It's the most I'm not going to hurt you fight I've ever seen.
It's horrible. It's so bad.
He starts throwing sand out of his pocket for an open. Where did the sand come from?
I don't know. It's chalk, I guess. I don't know.
I guess. I really love the relationship between Ludacris and Tyrese and even Natalie being part of that threesome. I want to see that movie where the three of them run off and do something. A more fair way of describing Roman is that it's not that really he gets dumber. It's that he's surrounded by two people who are way too smart to be around and not look that dumb. In a lot of ways, the fact that he's running around wearing his money makes him the smartest person in the room, honestly.
It's true.
That was such a funny scene. Where they're like, you've been holding out on us. And he starts throwing down. He's like, how about $100? This is for a fully loaded like request. They're like, we need auxiliary. We need cars. We need weapons. We need the works. And he's like, how's $100 for that? Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, God damn, you know, inflation is bad, don't you? That covers the gas for them to bring it here. Maybe.
Make sure you get some receipts when he's with Jason Statham. That was.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was
so
great.
Funny.
That was so great.
From the vending machine.
Oh my God. Yeah, those three are fun. And definitely Tej and Roman are definitely a good time. Han, I thought, was kind of useless in this one. Honestly, I really don't think Han added a whole lot this time.
No, he really didn't.
I did like him and Shaw where he's trying to talk to him and he's just going to get his chips and Jason and Shaw just beats the shit out of him. I like that. I thought that was fun.
I love the Russian guy in the bag. The one Shaw's just be hitting the hit bag, and he's just kicking, and you can hear the ow, 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 and it turns into this Russian guy who was just in the bag.
I love that. I think that was a stinger in the last one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So they continued and like brought it back in here. And so when they finally open the bag and like they don't realize that there was a human being in there, they're like, what the hell is going on? What are you doing in here with people in there? And I just love that his answer was basically like, I got to stay fit. Like,
and
this doesn't come from nowhere.
Fun fact, if you didn't know, Louis Leterrier is the director of the Transporter series. So him and Jason Statham have worked together before. Fun fact. So I love seeing Shaw back. He's a fun character. I'm looking forward to imagining that his brother will come back as well, especially if Queenie gets in danger. Cypher, I always love Charlize Theron, so she can show up wherever she wants. I don't care.
Thank God her hair is better. Please don't put her back with that former haircut from Fast 9.
Well, here's my question in regard. Ooh. You know how all these people end up somehow being friendly with our existing cast? Like they were enemies, now they're frenemies, essentially. Mm-hmm. Can she really come back? Because it's kind of like Dante, right? He murdered someone close to Dom. How does they come back? Well, she murdered his baby mama. So as far as I'm concerned, she cannot join the family, so to speak. I mean, they can reluctantly work together because they have a common goal kind of thing, but she cannot join the family. She cannot.
That's how I feel about it. But whether the writers will continue to feel that way is probably a different story.
I mean, they cleared Shaw before we knew that Han was alive. So, you know, and him protecting Don's baby all of a sudden for no reason. Wild. So there we go. I did like John Cena. It was nice to see, because I thought he was the weakest part of the last movie, and he was a strong part in this. So I really like his back and forth with little Brian. Jordana Brewster had very little to do, but of course she's always got to run home and make sure that Brian and the kids are good.
I think that part's nice because they're giving us the tie-in and they're keeping to at least one commitment that they're going to keep Brian alive. And without trying to go over the top or underdo it where, like, we don't hear about Brian at all, they make plenty of allusions, like, when they're waiting at the table and they say, and she says something like, oh, he'll be here in a minute, he's on his way, whatever, and then you see his car pull up. And you're like, oh, that's so sweet, he's there.
He's still in this. And fun fact, his Metal Walker, his Paul Walker's daughter, does a cameo in this movie. She's the airline attendant on the plane that sees Jacob.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Sweet.
That would have made me cry if I would have known that.
Well, now you know the next time you watch it. It's just with all these movies, it's hard to tell which one's which. So you might have to actually go and physically pull out Fast X. Make sure you get the right one because you won't know which movie you're watching.
I don't know how many days I can truly commit to, like, 3 hours worth of a movie.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Not a movie.
All right, so we ended on a cliffhanger. And, I mean, I knew it was going to end on a cliffhanger. I didn't realize it was going to be a huge cliffhanger, but it does. You know, we end with The Rock being targeted and come get me some bitch or whatever. And you get Gal Gadot on a submarine saving Cypher and Letty. You get Dom and little Brian that basically just raced down Hoover Dam. What?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my God. And you didn't take my car. What the fuck kind of logic is that? Whatever. So you got all these little explodey things. They're blowing up the dam, which is really going to wreak more havoc on the world, as Amanda alluded to earlier. There's just so much damage and devastation where these guys go. What do you want to see next? And are you mad that it ended on a cliffhanger?
I mean, by the time this ending came for this one, I was just kind of happy that we were at the end because I was exhausted. I felt like I had run 10 miles, and the whole time I'm either laughing or holding my breath or doing something. And so I was happy that it finally ended. I was disappointed it ended feeling like we only saw the first act, which drives me a little nuts when movies do this. I don't know if I'm thrilled with that. And as far as the things I want to see next, I think anything I come up with that I want to see next is too tame and wouldn't, I could sit there and say that aliens are going to land and they're all going to look like Dom and they're going to do something to clone the rest of the team. I could say that and it would still be, whatever they actually come up with, would still be miles ahead of that.
What I want to see from this franchise is not really feasible at this point, but I would love to see them kind of take a downward turn, I guess, if you will, from this roller coaster. And honestly, I just want to get a little bit closer to reality.
What?
I want, you know what? This is getting out of control. These guys like have security clearance above the CIA themselves at this point.
Not like, anymore. They just lost it. It's just been revoked.
Yeah, that's true. I just want to see them have to kind of go through that life struggle a little bit. And, they have to work together. They're not relying on all of this wealth and the agency and all of these things. I want it to go back to that kind of close-knit group feeling where they have to come up with everything on their own. That's the part where I think Fast Five got really good.
Agreed.
They were working as a team to come up with the plan. It wasn't just handed to them and they weren't being pulled out of situations. And now they're just kind of order takers at this point. But I want to see some more reality. I want to see some more feasibility. But I don't know that with that continuation of where they're, that momentum they've had to this point, if that's realistic, because is that going to make sense for a franchise for them to all of a sudden have all of that peak notoriety and then come down, depending on how you write it. But I don't know that they want to go that direction.
Yeah, I very similar vein. I do think they should start looking at what people love about the franchise. And Fast Five is everyone I know's favorite movie from this whole series. Everyone. And then probably followed by Furious 7 would be my guess. So, you know, the one thing those things share is they're personal and they have moments that are extraordinary, but the movie isn't a complete extraordinary moment. You know, it's not just one thing after another. It's not a Bond movie. Neither one is really like that. They both have very personal journeys, but also have moments of insane action, but a lot of grounding. You know, even in Furious 7, when they jump from building to building, that was grounded to some degree, right? I mean, it's ridiculous, sure. But it's not crashing helicopters together. It's not stopping a bomb down the middle of a highway or down in the middle of Rome, the Vatican steps. There's a little bit of, I use that term very loosely, of grounding. So if you could bring it down a little bit, because now you've got the team on the run. They're stripped of all their prestige. They don't have all the toys that they once had. They don't have God's eye. And they have to actually use the things that they once had to rely on. I think that could make for a much better film, a more stripped down version of what this was, you know. And there are hints that this could be a possible trilogy. It was supposed to be two films. That was announced when it first came out, or when they first announced this, there's going to be two films to conclude the franchise. And then, of course, you know, you got Vin Diesel on the red carpet, who's like, it might be three films. You know, Universal might want three of these because I haven't ridden a dinosaur yet. And, you know, we'll see what happens, I guess. I kind of would just want one more to end it, but I'm still having fun with them too, so I don't know. I would still go see two more. I'm the problem.
You made a mistake. You didn't take my Raptor, and instead of pulling back and seeing a Ford Raptor, it's an actual Raptor he's on top of.
I would love it. I would grin from ear to ear. And you know what? It'd feel like it fits. That's the funny part. It would feel like it fits. Anything else on Fast X before we head out?
Go see it. It's a lot of fun, even though I scored it low.
It is fun.
Wait, you didn't sound like you had a good time at all. What the hell are you talking about?
I don't know, man. Do you think I actually listen to the words that come out of my mouth?
Obviously not. Listen to Amanda and I. We know what we speak of. Joy. It's joy.
It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous, if you will, but it's fun.
I wonder if he gets sick of hearing that. People using his name as a pun.
Probably the credits for him now says, I don't know if it, I need to go back and look and see what it said formerly, but it says Chris Ludacris Bridges now.
He's trying to do that Dwayne Johnson thing, segue from right. Rock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take me serious as an actor. I got my own bobblehead now. Nobody else thought that was funny. I thought that was really funny, that whole joke.
I thought it was cute.
Okay. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can find everything at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We're on Patreon if you want to support us and get bonus content like our bad movie night of Not Another Teen Movie. That's at patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. And rate and review us. We also have our summer TV preview coming out this same week. And then we'll be off for Memorial Day. So everybody have a wonderful holiday if you celebrate that. And that's it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Remember, the next time you head to the theater and see Fast X, vroom, 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 buy popcorn. That was me going to fifth gear from first gear. I stripped the clutch.